All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. 1 Samuel, chapter 3. We're going to continue the series I started a couple weeks ago on the Old Testament prophets. And tonight we're going to look at one of the great men of the Old Testament, a prophet by the name of Samuel. Samuel is he is one of my favorites. I love this. I love to read about what he did and how he did it. It's an amazing story. It's an example of what God can do with somebody who is yielded and surrendered and will let the Lord use them. And Samuel certainly was that person. You know, God is still looking today for folks that will just allow themselves to be used. And if you'll just let God use you, God will use you. I was thinking, as Pastor Ray was talking about the folks that were saved this week, and I thought I'd just lay out a challenge. In just a moment, I'm going to read the text, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to preach. And while I'm praying tonight, I would like to give you this challenge. Why don't you just ask the Lord tonight to give you the opportunity this week to share the gospel with someone that needs the Lord? Just pray that prayer. And if you will pray that prayer, be watching. Because sometime this week, there's going to be a divine appointment. And God is going to put somebody right in front of you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you pray that prayer, the Lord will put somebody right in front of you. And I think it would be a wonderful thing if next Sunday night, if I remember, and if you would remind me, I'll say, how many of you had a divine appointment this week? And we'll just see how many folks got their divine appointment on schedule. Because, you know, the Lord's just wanting somebody to say, you can use me. I'll witness for you. I'll tell somebody. So in just a moment, when I finish reading, I'll pray, and you just pray in your heart and ask the Lord to lead you to some soul this week. Let's see what happens. God just needs somebody that will say, I'll do it. That's all you got to say. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 3. You know this chapter. In the first part, Samuel was staying at the house of Levi, or Eli, and God spoke to him, but he thought it was Eli speaking to him, and he got up and he went in and he said, "Did you call for me?" And he said, "No, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed." He said, "Well, I heard somebody call my name. Wasn't me. Go back to bed." So he went back to bed and he heard it again. So he got up and he said, "Did you call for me?" He said, "No, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed." So he went back to bed. And a third time, God spoke to him a third time. He came in. He said, "All right, did you call for, you called for me this time?" Well, finally, the man of God said, "Wait a minute. Next time this happens, you say, 'Yes, Lord, I'm listening.' It's not me calling for you. It's God calling for you. God speaking to you." All right. So let's pick it up in verse 11. That's where it leaves off. And in verse 11, it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle.'" Not just one ear, both ears. You get that? Both ears are going to tingle. When you see what I'm going to do, And what he's implying here, what I'm going to do through you. When you see what I'm going to do through you and how I'm going to use you, what I'm going to say through you, the ears of everyone will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Every time I read that verse, I think about all that we learned about the second coming of Christ. You know, when the rapture happens and all this that's in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, start to unfold, and the tribulation period begins, and the Antichrist rises, everything that's in this Bible, every time I read that little phrase, when I begin, I will also make an end. God's going to carry out His Word. God's going to carry out His Word. I'm telling you, all this criminal activity that goes on in our government, God's going to stop it. It's going to come to a crashing halt. All this murder and mayhem and corruption, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to preach something else if I don't start reading here. Look at verse 13. I got to keep going. I don't want to get off on that. Verse 13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Hey, folks, you better discipline your children. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Why? Well, because the vision was about Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit. Isn't it interesting that both sermons today had the word whit in them? And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Now watch this. These next three verses are my text. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba. Now that just means from north to south. Dan is it was the northernmost city in Israel, and Beersheba was the southernmost city. It becomes desert after you get past Beersheba. So from Dan to Beersheba, where everybody lived, they all knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I want to speak to you on this subject tonight, taking verse 21 as my text, when God came back to Shiloh. You say, well, what was so important about Shiloh? That's where the tabernacle was. That's where Eli, the high priest, was serving. And evidently, there had been quite a long period of silence. God was not speaking. As a matter of fact, there were 300 years from Moses to Eli, from Moses to Samuel. 300 years had gone by. And we'll think about that in just a moment. But now here in verse 21, after all these years, you've got the children of Israel coming into the land, and you've got Joshua, and you've got the period of the judges, and then you've got Samuel. And so 300 years had gone by. And my text says, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." And I want to call the message tonight, "When God Came Back." Let's pray. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the word. Oh, Father, help me tonight. I pray that you will bless and lead and guide and help me to clearly explain the time period and what it was like and what we can glean from Scripture, and help us to see what a great man Samuel was, that he listened when you spoke and that you used him mightily. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll help us tonight to see that we live in a similar age. We live in a day where there is so much spiritual darkness. The word of the Lord is so scarce. But Father, you want to use somebody. May we step up. May we say, "Lord, use me. Help us tonight to have a burden." Lord, may every one of us in this room tonight utter a little prayer right now and say, "Lord, lead somebody across my path this week that I can share the gospel with." Father, help us to be like Samuel and just be an instrument that you can use. And I just pray that you'll bless the service tonight for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As we continue in our look at the prophets of the Old Testament by looking tonight at Samuel, I want you to realize this was one great man of God. God raised up Samuel as a young boy, just a child, at the end of the period of the judges. As a matter of fact, he was the last of the judges. He was it. And I want you to understand, as I said a moment ago, it had been 300 years since Moses died, and the land had been taken by the Israelites. And my text says that the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. And I think this indicates that it had been quite some time since anyone had heard from the Lord in Shiloh. The word of the Lord was scarce in those days. I think this indicates that the period in which Eli was the high priest, that the period of time in which God called this young boy Samuel into the ministry had been some days where there was a lot of darkness. There was a lot of spiritual darkness. There were a lot of cloudy, gray days. And the Lord had not been seen by that generation. Now, I need to make sure that you understand that although not seen, there was never a time when the Lord was absent. Like the waters of the sea surround a ship, the Lord is always near. Let me remind you that he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Let me remind you that in every age, he stands at the door and knocks. But how often do we fail to recognize that He is there? And when we fail to recognize Him, God becomes to us as if He were nowhere to be found. Now, as you read the book of Joshua, and as you read the book of Judges, it becomes evident that His absence had stretched into decades, and that decades quickly became centuries. And now some 300 years had passed since the death of Moses. Oh, in that 300-year period, there were little glimpses of His presence here and there with Joshua and with the victories that He led alongside the captain of His salvation. Yeah, there were a few appearances where the Lord showed up and spoke. And there were a few personalities that we read about in the book of Judges, but none could say they had anything akin to the presence of the Lord that Moses enjoyed when they were on the other side of the river. If you remember, when Moses went up on the mountain to get the law from God, the people came to Aaron and they said, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For this Moses, we know not what is become of him." And what they were saying is that as far as they were personally concerned, with Moses gone, it was as if God were gone. All they had seen of God, they had seen in the personality of their great leader, Moses. But now, 300 years later, we come to 1 Samuel 3 and verse 21, and my text says that God had come back. God had come back. How did the Lord come back? Well, I want you to notice carefully in verse 21 what the Holy Spirit tells us. He came back and revealed Himself through a human being, through a prophet, through a man, through a man of God by the name of Samuel. You know, folks, God always works through people. God always works through people. I've had people say to me, who do you think you are preaching like that? Well, I think I'm God's man. He called me. And so that's what gives me the authority to say some of the harsh things that I sometimes say. It's not that I want attention, good grief. It's not that I'm trying to offend. No, I can offend without trying. The point is, God has a message for us. And He uses His people to deliver that message. And so Samuel was that man, and God had a message. That's why Eli was so interested in hearing what God's message was. They hadn't heard God's message. And so when Samuel was called by the Lord, the next morning there was Eli waiting on Samuel, and he said, "Okay, tell me what God said." Years had gone by and nobody had heard from the Lord. And so Samuel was a man that God could use. And God revealed Himself through a prophet, through a man of God, through a human being named Samuel. Samuel was, in the day in which he lived, used of the Lord to be an instrument through which God could manifest Himself to the people. In verse 20, we are told that everyone from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was God's man, and that when he spoke with the voice of God. Men saw something in him that reminded them of God. And his story is not unusual. If you'll just stop and think about it, were you not impacted somewhere along the way through the influence of a godly Christian? Was it not your godly mother or your godly daddy? Was it not a godly pastor somewhere that preached to you the gospel? You see, this is not unusual. I'm not talking about some mystical thing. I'm not talking about some hocus pocus stuff. No, that's the way God chooses to work. He works through people. You know, most of us, our first glimpse into the beauty of the Lord was by looking into the face of one of his saints. Is that not how Ruth first trusted in the Lord? Through the godly influence of Naomi, Ruth chose Naomi's God to be her God because of Naomi. So after all these years of relative silence, finally the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. And he appeared to a man named Samuel. Now let's think about this great man of God and look at his the big picture of his life, and we'll see what we can learn from his story. The first thing I want you to think about is this. Let's think about why God chose Samuel. You know, it has always puzzled the world as to why God chooses to use some folks and not others. That question has caused more strife, more arguments, more church splits than just about any other issue. Why did God choose Samuel? Let me give you just a couple of answers to that question. I think, first of all, because Samuel would actually let God use him to speak his word. Glenn Matthews and I, we've joked about it for years, that Glenn look at me and say, "You ever wonder why God trusts either one of us?" And I've always said, "Well, I've always wondered why he trusted you." But we're all God's got to work with. People. Just sinners saved by grace. I mean, Samuel would actually let God use him to speak his word. You see, there was something that was in Samuel that made such a revelation from God possible. I think we all understand that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is infinitely eager to reveal himself to every person. But you know, some of us make that revelation impossible. Some just refuse to be a witness for the Lord, but not Samuel. He was more than willing to be God's voice. Now, is there some explanation in his background to help us understand this? Well, some folks credit the way Samuel turned out. Some folks credit Samuel to his godly mother. And I certainly think that was a part of it, don't you? Oh, you remember that part of Samuel's story. It's found in the first and second chapters. Here was this mother who could not have a child. And so she went to the tabernacle and prayed for a child. Amen. Eli saw her praying. He thought she was drunk. That shows you how spiritual he was. I mean, that guy couldn't even tell the difference between somebody in the spirit and somebody who had been in the wine kegs. Poor old soul. But let me tell you something, folks. Think about this. A baby turning into a young man, turning into an adult, and then turning into one of the greatest prophets in the Bible is not an accident. There is some effort behind that. And I think that effort goes to that godly mother. She had prayed for him. And when she could not have a child, she said, in her prayer, Lord, if you'll just give me a son, I will raise him to fear you. And then I will give him back to you, and you can do with him as you see fit. You know, I've actually had teenagers come to me and say, Pastor, God called me into the ministry, but my parents won't let me do it. And I've said to them, why? Well, they want me to go into this line of work where I can make more money. That's sad. That is a sad commentary on understanding the things of God. I mean, Lord, you can use him the way you see fit. And God gave her a boy, and she named him Samuel, which means God asked, because he was given in answer to prayer. But having been given a child from God, she did not see him as her child, but as God's child. And you see, she believed that God could do so much more for him than she could ever do. And so she just turned right around and gave him back to God. Some credit has to go to his godly mother. But then some credit has to go to Samuel himself for being willing to be used. She took Samuel to Shiloh, and she placed him in the care of Eli, the high priest. Now, this aged old fellow was far from perfect, as we read just a moment ago. He had a couple of sons of his own. Both of them also were in the priesthood, but both of them were as corrupted and as evil as they could be. And Eli's problem was he would not correct his two sons. He knew what they were doing, but he would not stop them. As far as the biblical record goes, there is absolutely no evidence at all that Eli ever did anything blatantly wrong. The only thing he did wrong was he did not deal with his own sons when they went away from God. His problem was he failed to do anything aggressively right. It's not that he did anything aggressively wrong. He just didn't do anything aggressively right. You with me on that? I mean, he turned the other way when the sin of his children were being committed. He would not discipline them. He would not correct them. So the first person to whom God would deliver a message through Samuel was to Eli about his own sons. Look at chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. Look at verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever. Wow. Wow. That's pretty strong language coming Eli's way. Can you imagine the young man Samuel having to deliver this harsh message of judgment to Eli, to his mentor, to his teacher, to his authority figure? But he did what God asked him to do. Man, he just took a big gulp and out it came. And he told Eli exactly what God had told him. You know, folks, that's what America needs to hear, the message of God, and not all this watered down political correct garbage that's going on today. You know, hell is still a literal burning fire. You know, it's still hot and it's still for eternity. And it's still in the Bible that you must be born again. And all this ear tickling and back scratching preaching that's going on today and all this political correctness is not helping America one bit. What Eli was doing did not help his sons one bit. It destroyed his household. But he let it go. Should not Eli have had God use his two boys to appear again in Shiloh? Yes. It should have been to Eli's boys that God appeared again in Shiloh. But God could not use them because they were not usable. Folks, get yourself in the usable spot, would you? Get yourself in the usable spot. I'm not going to preach on disciplining children tonight, but can you not see the principle that is being taught by the Lord in this passage? Listen, folks, a lack of discipline. Mom, Dad, listen to me. A lack of discipline robs a child of happiness both now and especially in the future. Don't let the inmates run the asylum. You're the parent, and you need to discipline your children. No child is happy who is never disciplined and allowed to run unchained through life. And it was for a lack of training that the sons of Eli, who should have had God speak to them and through them, ended up making Judaism despised and hated by the people because of the ugliness of their own personal lives. And that's exactly what's happening to Christianity all over America. That's exactly what's happening. You get this flesh Christianity, this carnal, fleshly Christianity going, and all it does is feed the flesh. And that's why every week you go on the news and look at what's going on, and this pastor has resigned, and that pastor has been shamed, and this youth worker is out, and that assistant pastor is gone, and this college president is out. Why? Because the flesh is running the show. And the devil knows exactly where to put the temptations and the lures. And although Eli made a mess out of his own kids, thank God he gave the world and his fellow countrymen a great man of God and a powerful prophet with the way he trained Samuel to recognize and hear the word of the Lord in Shiloh. When God was calling young Samuel, he thought it was Eli calling him. But finally, Eli had enough spiritual sense to know that it was God who was calling. What a shame, though, he didn't use that spiritual sense to train his own kids. But then secondly, I want you to notice the services of this man who saw the Lord. What did he do? What did Samuel do? Well, first of all, look at verse 20. We see that he served Israel as their final judge. In verse 20, all Israel recognized the call of God upon his life. His position was one of authority. It was one of power. They all understood that God spoke on, or that he spoke on God's behalf. As a judge, he would hear their problems. He would hear their disputes, and he would make rulings. And no doubt, he judged in wisdom, and he judged under the guidance of God, and he had the trust and faith of the people in the decisions that he made. But now you know what happened, don't you? Samuel got old, as we all do. And sadly, the day came when the people demanded change. Samuel grew old. He started to fade a little bit. And the people came and they said to him, "We want a change. We don't want another judge. We want a king, so we can be like the rest of the world." You see, up to this point, Israel had been a theocracy. That means ruled by God. God chose men like Moses and Joshua and Gideon and Samuel, and God spoke through these men to the people. God used these people to deliver his word to the Jews. But they didn't want God telling them what to do anymore. Instead, they wanted to be like all the other nations. Doesn't that kind of sound like America? That's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what the progressive left here in America is doing to our country. They want us to abandon our Judeo-Christian heritage and become like the rest of the world, like socialist Europe. We don't want God and His Word guiding our way of life. The new religion of humanism, the new religion of climate change, the new religion of murder on demand, I mean abortion on demand, the new religion of Obamacare, which has a euthanasia built into it, death panels built into it, where your doctor and you and your family don't make decisions, but bureaucrats who don't know you from Adam are sitting in a boardroom somewhere deciding whether or not you live or die. But you see, the progressives, they want us to be like the rest of the nations. Folks, listen, that's what has separated America from the rest of the nations ever since there's been an America. We have the best of in the world. Doesn't matter what it is, we got the best. And yet the progressive left doesn't want us to be the best. We have the best healthcare system on the planet. Well, we did. The best hospitals, the best care. Isn't it strange that when some world leader needs surgery, they come to America to have the surgery done? It was our Christian foundation that made America the greatest country on the planet. Why would we want to change that? I'll tell you why. Because we have rejected God. That's why. And folks, we need, if the Lord tarries, and I hope He doesn't, I hope He comes back tonight. But if the Lord tarries, we better get this bunch of socialists, Republican and Democrat, out of our government. What else did He do? Well, He served as God's spokesman even after Saul was chosen king. To me, this part of Samuel's life is the part that made him such a great man of God. Now you think about this. They came and they said, "We want a king." Samuel went to God. He said, "Lord, they want a king." God said, "All right, Samuel, give it to them." Samuel said, "But Lord, wait a minute now." And God said, "Samuel, listen, they have not rejected you. This is not about you. They've rejected me. So I'm going to give them a king. I'm going to give them what they want." I think that's what God's done for us. Yeah. We got what we wanted, but we lost what we had. Right? And they said, God said, "I'm going to give them a king." So Saul was chosen. Saul was chosen to be the king. Now think about this. My point is this. It was this part of Samuel's life that made him such a great man of God. In effect, he was retired by the people. They forced him to step aside by rejecting his God. And they said, "Appoint us someone else to be our king." And I submit to you that a lesser man would have gotten bitter and angered over their behavior. I think Samuel would have been tempted, I know I would have been tempted if I were Samuel, to just wash his hands of the whole thing and just walk away and let them languish in their own foolish decision. But he did not do that. You keep reading after Saul was made king, and Samuel kept his nose in everything that was going on, and God used him. God would speak to him and tell him what he was going to do. He seemed to love Saul. He worked with Saul. He tutored Saul. He tried to help him along the way. Folks, this was the man that took Samuel's place. But he was there to advise him. He never criticized him publicly. When Saul departed from the Lord and fouled up, it grieved Samuel and it broke his heart. And he cried all night long for the backslidden king. The next morning he went to visit Saul, begged him to come back to the Lord. But Saul would not do the right thing. So he had an impact on Israel. Just absolutely amazing. Now I want you to think of this and I'll close. What kind of impact did Samuel have on Saul? You ever think about that? You ever read 1 Samuel and think about what impact Samuel had on Saul? Well, while Saul was king, Samuel died. And when Samuel died, Saul got himself in a mess. And he had nowhere to turn. Samuel was not there to guide him anymore. And my, did that man mess up. And so he had nowhere to go. And so you know what he did? He went to a witch. He went to a spirit medium. Why didn't he run to God? Same reason Obama won't run to God. You got to know God before you can run to Him. You see, if a person does not have true faith and a walk with God, that person will seek one that is an appearance, an apparition of the real thing. Thousands and thousands of people do this every single day of their life. Like Saul, they get up every morning and look in the newspaper to read the horoscopes to see how their day is going to turn out. I tell you what you ought to do. Get in the Word of God and let the Word of God guide you. It'll shape and mold your day a whole lot better. But what kind of impact did Samuel have on Saul? Well, let me share this with you. When this medium, this witch, asked Saul, "Who do you want me to conjure up for you?" What was his answer? Samuel. He wanted Samuel. Bring up Samuel. That shows you something. That shows you that Saul believed in this good man in life, but he also believed in him in death. It shows us the impact that this man had on his generation. God is always, folks, seeking to reveal himself to men. An entire generation was impacted by the life of this prophet who allowed himself to be a voice for God. And you can be assured that God wants to speak to men today. The question is, will you be a Samuel? Hey, will you be a Samuel with your own children? God wants to use you. My text says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. He appeared to a man just like you, just like me. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if a Lord appeared again in Westminster and used you? He's just looking for somebody that he could use.